Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
I really hope we don't get lost in those three verses, because there's not many of them, so hopefully you stay with me. My name's TJ. If I haven't met you before, it's lovely to meet you. There's lots of people here. It's great. Before we get into the passage, I'm just going to pray, so please bow with me. Dear Lord, thank you that we have this chance now to open up your word. Thank you that your word is living and active, and thank you that it changes us. I pray that as we leave here today, we will leave as people changed and people loving you more. In Jesus' name, amen. About 10 years ago, I was running in a cross-country race. I went to Hillview Christian School. I know there's a few here representing Hillview here today. And I was competing to represent my school at the Canterbury Cross Country. In order for me to make it, though, I needed to make it into the top six of this race. And all throughout the race, I was doing okay, up to about 200 or 300 metres to go. And two or three people passed me. And by the time I got near the finish line, I was in sixth place. I thought I'd done enough, and just before I made it to the finish line, I looked around and I saw all these people cheering. I thought they were cheering for me, but they were actually cheering for the boy that was right behind me, just about to pass me, but I didn't see him. So I slowed down, thinking I was clear, and then right on the line, I was overtaken. I came seventh, and I hadn't made it in. I was so angry and upset, you would not believe it. I cried for a long time in the car. And back in those days, I was so competitive, and if something didn't go wrong, you would not want to be around. It took me a couple of years to get over that, but I think I'm all right now. I think I'm all right now. But the point of this story is that I was too confident, and I didn't stay in the race till the end. Today, we'll think about the question, how to stay in the faith. All throughout, it will be alluding to a runner competing in a spiritual race. And I realise that we've just jumped into Hebrews out of the blue, so I'll give a little bit of insight to what the book is about. There are two main goals that this unknown author gives us. The first is to elevate Jesus as superior over anyone else, even over all the angels and all the prophets of the Old Testament. He is the new high priest, the ultimate high priest, who gave up his high status for all. He's a man that can sympathise with our weaknesses, a man who has been tempted in every way, yet never sinned. So elevate Jesus and don't reject him. The other goal of this letter is to challenge the reader to remain faithful. And in chapter 11, right before our passage, there's a long list of all those that remained faithful to God, even those who were put under severe persecution for their faith. These men, they didn't even get to see Jesus, but they believed that one day he would come, and they believed and the promises of God. So in light of that, there is an urge for the original readers and for us today to stay in the faith. Don't give up before the finish line. Don't take your eyes off the prize, but rather stay in the race, because we need to make it right to the end. So how are we going to stay in the faith? That's what we need to remember when we leave here today, how to stay in the faith. There are two ways that this passage answers this question. Firstly, get rid of anything that weighs you down. And secondly, turn your eyes towards Jesus. So number one, get rid of anything that weighs you down. The first part of this, the first verse is a call to remember. I'll read it now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Remember that while you're running in this race, those that have gone before you, remember that they have finished the race, and their faith stayed strong right till the end. Remember how much they suffered for their faith. Have a look at back in chapter 11, starting from verse 35. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. Now, because of this, because of their great witness of staying in the faith, get rid of everything and anything that weighs you down. Anything that gets in the way of you finishing the race. What does this verse say about that? It gives us two obstacles that will get in our way. Anything that hinders you, and then sin that entangles you. So let's think about these two things for a few minutes. Firstly, things that might hinder. Stuff that holds you back in your faith and slows you down. Just take a moment to think about what might hinder you in the faith. Maybe it's small things like prioritizing watching TV over spending time with God, or missing church every second week because your spouse or your friend can't be bothered coming. Something that hinders me is going to bed too late, watching sports highlights till midnight or more. There isn't anything wrong with that in some ways, but it means when I wake up in the morning, I've got 5 minutes to brush my teeth, which I can't say I do every single morning, firstly get out of bed, have a shower, and I don't even have breakfast either, and then the result is, because I've only got 5 minutes before I have to get up and go to work, the result is I don't read my Bible or pray, and I do that far too often. There are so many little things in life that most of the time, they're not bad on their own, but so often they hinder us from persevering in the Christian faith. And we have a lot of freedom here, especially here at the 7 p.m. service as young people with lots of life ahead of us. We have lots of free time, a certain amount of spare money, not too many responsibilities. We really do have a lot of freedom. But actually, often this freedom is the exact thing that enslaves us. Now that you have lots of free time, you can waste it rather than using it to serve Christ. Your spare money just gets put on your just gets spent on yourself rather than on something better. And because you don't have many responsibilities, you use it as an excuse to look after what you're interested in and forget about serving for the sake of the gospel. They might only be little small things and small habits that we've got ourselves into, but the longer we get stuck in a habit, the harder it is to get out of. The small decisions in life become habits, and they'll start to shape our character and therefore shape our whole life. And I've got into a terrible habit of going on my phone while driving. I've got so used to doing it that it's actually really hard to stop now. And sometimes I've seen others doing it in the car next to me, and I've gone to say something to them, and then I've realised I'm on my phone at the same time. What a hypocrite I am. Now, habits like this won't always hinder you from staying in the faith, but a lot of the time these small problems, they start to mount up. But maybe there are bigger things that weigh you down and slow you down in the race to the finish line. Maybe you don't think church is that important. It doesn't interest you anymore. Just a small decision, but then if you keep doing it, it will become a habit. It could be hanging out with the wrong crowd. Friends that are still nice people, but you know when you hang out with them, you're just going to want to do what they're doing. It's easy just to follow along with what others are doing. It could be wanting to get drunk. Who wants to be reading a book at home when your friends are out partying and drinking with other mates? Who wants to be sipping on lemonade when you can be sipping on vodka? Maybe for those that are married or too old for going to parties, mum and dad, it's your career that's hindering your faith. You spend so much time working and trying to build your life around how much you can achieve, and then you forget to spend time with your Creator. All of these examples, whether small or large, will stall our ability to persevere in this race. They'll hold us back from staying in the faith. So we've talked about what hinders us, But what about specific sins that we're caught up in or entangled in, as it says in verse 1? Things that hinder us will slow us down in this race to the finish line, but being stuck in sin, that's going to trip us right over. It will stop us from running at all. In fact, it actually might start to pull us back. I reckon it will feel a little bit like when you're in a dream and you're trying to run away from someone, and it feels like you're just running on the spot in thick sand, and the person chasing you is gaining on you. And the harder you try to run, the slower you feel. Does anyone else get that when they're in a dream? Sweet. Cool. But that's what sin will do. It will pull us further away from that finish line. That's one of the reasons the writer of Hebrews is urging these people to remain faithful. The original audience, like us, were tempted to drift away from the faith. They were tempted to put their trust in things that they could see, bowing to idols and worshipping pagan gods. Though there are differences in the sin that we may fall into, we are all tempted to drift away. Again, have a moment just to think about specific sins that you struggle with. Maybe it's lust, struggling to keep your eyes off that person that looks so attractive. It could be sleeping with someone outside of marriage because you can't control yourself. Or is it greed? Often greed is downplayed. It's easy to hide from anyone, and it's not something we like to admit we struggle with. You could be like me and have moments of exploding in anger. Most people haven't seen it. My family have, though. Something so pathetic won't go my way, and I just lose it. And then I often say a few words that I'm not going to repeat here. There are so many sins that we all battle with, and we all know that they're going to trip us up and stop us from getting back in the race. The verse says that sin so easily entangles. It's so relevant to the running and the race imagery. Because when we sin, it's like our shoelaces have been tied together and are all tangled up. And we all know trying to run with our laces tied together isn't really possible. It's also important to note the word easily. It's deceitful, it's luring, and it's easy to fall into. But when we do sin, we can't blame anyone. We may try to, but we know it's just to justify ourselves. Sin tricks us, but it's not surprising. We don't tell a lie or steal something and then say, "Oh, wow, what a surprise, I didn't realize I was going to do that." It tricks us, but it's not surprising. It's so easy for sin to entangle us. So get rid of it so you can stay in the faith, like it says at the end of verse 1. But instead, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We don't know exactly what this race is going to look like because we don't get to choose it. It's set out for us. The race set out for us isn't a 100-meter sprint that goes in a straight line. It's more like an ultramarathon. It will require effort, and there'll be times where we want to give up, and there'll be unexpected bumps and sharp turns along the way. There'll be kilometres of uphill hard work and then a small downhill break. And if we're wanting to persevere in this marathon that has been set out for us and stay in the faith, then we need to throw off everything that might get in the way of us getting over the finish line. So what is it for you? What choices are you making which are tying you up? Where is sin entangling you? Are you in a habit that needs to be dealt with? There are people here that are not here tonight because of a habit that has drifted them completely away from Jesus. But what is it for you? What habit do you need to get out of? So that's the first answer to how to stay in the faith. Get rid of everything that weighs you down. The second way to stay in the faith is turn your eyes towards Jesus. This is the only way we're ever going to make it close to the finish line, by turning our eyes towards Jesus. Have a look at verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. An athlete running in a race doesn't focus on what's to the right or what's to the left. They focus on the goal at the end. They won't be distracted by people shouting to them in the crowds or birds flying over their head, because it's what's ahead of them that's important. If you get distracted by things around you, it's very hard to stay on track. I've experienced this firsthand on the mountain snowboarding. Now, when I first started, I was really struggling to control the board. And because of this, lots of people were giving me tips on what to do, but mostly on what not to do. And one of the most important tips was not to look at the cliff unless you want to go off it. Because in snowboarding, pretty much wherever you look, that's where you and your board are going to be heading. The thing is, though, when you start to drift towards the edge of a cliff, naturally, you look towards the danger. Well, that's what I do anyway. And on this one instance, there was a sign that was planted in the snow off to the side near the cliff. Ironically, the sign said slow trail on it, and I happened to be moving very fast and straight towards it. And because I was looking straight at it, because I was afraid to look away from it. And within a few seconds, I smashed the sign completely and fell down the side of the cliff, which actually happened to be not much of a cliff at all, really, at the end. But it looked like it. But the point is, I didn't focus on what was ahead of me, and I got distracted, and I paid the price for it. But if we turn our eyes towards Jesus, we won't be distracted. He will help us stay in the faith. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. It's only by his strength and his perfect example that we even have a faith at all. He's the founder of the faith. He has been there from the beginning, and that's why the book of Hebrews is such a great reminder to us to elevate Jesus above all. But there's also a loving warning to turn our eyes towards him. There are some amazing words in these verses. Check out the middle of verse 2. I know I've already read it, but I just want to read a little bit more. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross because he could see the finish line. The goal was in sight, and he didn't take his eyes off it. Jesus knew what he had to do, and he did it with joy, knowing what was to come. He came as a lowly and obedient servant, and he didn't scorn the shame of the cross. He faced it head on because he knew the glory and the joy that was set before him. The cross wasn't the end, so Jesus absorbed the shame, knowing that he would sit on the throne at the right hand of God. We have a wonderful Lord in Jesus, a Lord that is powerful beyond comprehension, yet loving enough to die for us. Just picture Jesus on that cross, being mocked, being spat on, and deserted by everyone. He looked weak, he looked powerless, and he looked hopeless. But picture him now, sitting next to God in all his honour and glory. He won the race, he got there, he persevered, and he did it all for you and me. Turn your eyes towards Jesus, because one day you and I will be enjoying heaven with him. At times when life is hard, we need to say no to what we think is important and good for us, and trust that Jesus knows better. For some of us, it's time to say no to the way that we've been living, to choices we've been making, saying no to friends, even if we look like a fool. And we can do it because we know that one day we'll be in heaven with Jesus. We need to lift our eyes. Most of the time when we make choices or decisions that won't even benefit us for 5 minutes, but we can make choices that will benefit us for eternity. Maybe this is your first time here to church tonight, or maybe you've been coming for a long time, but you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. This message is for you too. I'm not sure where you're at with Jesus, but he knows where you are. He knows the direction that you're running in. Most of all, he knows the way to the finish line. He can point you in the right direction because he's done it all before. If you turn your eyes towards Jesus, he won't shame you because you've been heading in the wrong way. And he promises to lead you in the right way until the end. The best part of all of this is that we don't run this race on our own. The only way we can even stay in the race is with the help of Jesus. If it was just up to us, we wouldn't even make it one step. would give up before we started. We only stay in the faith because the Holy Spirit stays within us. And isn't verse 3 so comforting? Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's a banger of a verse. I reckon you should try to remember that before you go tonight. He endured suffering and hardship so that we won't lose heart, so that we won't give up and quit the race. Just think about that for a few seconds. Who else does that for us? Who else would go through everything Jesus went through so that we would never have to grow weary? Consider what Jesus has done for you. Maybe we can be tempted only to ever think of ourselves. It's very easy to focus on our own suffering and then feel sorry for ourselves. I don't know about you, but whenever I do this, it always just leads to me complaining. Do I start to lose heart? Yes, I do. Do I become weary? Yes, I do. But if you and I were to constantly be considering Jesus and turning our eyes to him, it wouldn't even be possible to lose heart and grow weary. It wouldn't be possible to drift away in the faith. We want to be winners in this race of perseverance, this race of staying in the faith. So how can we do this? We get rid of everything that weighs us down, and instead we turn our eyes to Jesus, the perfecter and the author of our faith, to the one who has run the race ahead of us, and the one who promises to be right with us to the end and the race to the finish. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you promise, when we turn our eyes to you, you promise to be with us. Thank you, yeah, when we come to you, you give us eternal life. And Lord, I pray for different sins or things that are hindering our faith at the moment. I pray when we leave here tonight, we'll be thinking of those. I pray that we'll want to get rid of them, get rid of the weight that is holding us back, and instead turn our eyes to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.